Hey, welcome back to Life Sculptors, where we help your life take shape. My name is Dante Poole. I'm your host. It's so glad to be back with you. Listen, y'all, what a great year this has been. So many conversations that have just moved the needle in people's lives. And I don't know about you, but I've benefited from the conversation. Just doing the work, researching, thinking it through, talking it through is so exciting. So exciting. And if you've missed any episodes, just know that if you're watching this, I typically put the book that I previously read in the previous podcast on the shelf behind me. And so if you go back to the list and you're like, wait, I missed that one. If you just look over my shoulder there, you'll see a copy of the book that I just read from the previous podcast conversation. So anyhow, we're entering into a great season of some call it Advent season, and it's the season of Christmas and the celebration of togetherness and family. It started with Thanksgiving and just rolls right on through. I can't believe we're already in the month of December. December, wow. So at any rate, here we are with another conversation from another great book. This one is another book that has been around for a while, although it may not be familiar. It is originally copyrighted 1971. Yes, and then again in 1990. It's called Stand Back, Said the Elephant, I'm Going to Sneeze. And the story is written by Patricia Thomas, and the pictures are by Wallace Tripp. I'm just telling you, man, this is so good. There's a lot of rhyming, and if you want to work on your kids' vocabulary, this is a great book because it has some very interesting words in it, and you will come to find out very quickly why. Here we are. Stand back, said the elephant. I'm going to sneeze. Stand back, said the elephant. I'm going to sneeze. I hate to alarm you, but I wish to, and I don't wish to harm you. My friends, I fear it's clear, oh dear. You'd better stand back. I'm going to sneeze. Oh no, cried the buffalo. You're so big and strong, and your trunk is so long. Your sneezes send everyone flying along, bumping and thumping down pathway and trail, bouncing and jouncing head over tail. Tumbling and bumbling, your sneeze is a gale or a hurricane. I hate to complain, but please don't sneeze. No, no, please don't sneeze, cried the monkeys in the trees. You make such a breeze when you sneeze. The last time you blew us right out of the trees. The branches began to bend and to sway, and for some of us, we landed so far away, we didn't get back until the next day. The leaves all went whirling and tumbling and swirling, and the flowers shook for hours the last time you sneezed. Even a cough would knock some of us off. Oh, please, don't sneeze. And with a shriek, the parrot opened his beak. The elephant says he's going to sneeze? Oh, elephant, please, cried the birds in the trees. The last time you sneezed, we lost every feather. We didn't know whether we'd ever get back together. Every parakeet was bare as a sheet from his head to his feet. What's more, all the whales had peacock tails, and the wings of the cockatoo were stuck on the kangaroo. You must confess, it was quite a mess. Very confusing and not too amusing. Even a snuffle makes our feathers ruffle. Oh, please, don't sneeze. Fly, fly, called the birds to the bees. The elephant says he's going to sneeze. Oh, no, buzzed the bees. Not a sneeze, not a sneeze. The last time he blew off our stings was we all, as well as our wings, and we had to make do with rose thorns and glue. Furthermore, what a shock. We all had to walk on our knees, if you please, and that's hard on bees' knees. While our wings grew back in, what a sin. Oh, please don't sneeze. Beware, beware, called the bees to the bear. The elephant says he's going to sneeze. Oh, please, not a sneeze, cried the bear. That's not fair. I declare, the last time he sneezed, he blew off all my hair and left me so bare I spent the whole winter in long underwear. Nothing so sad as a bear that is bare. The giraffe, don't laugh, almost bent in half, and the crocodile snout was turned inside out. The last time he sneezed, a sniff or a snuff is bad enough, but a sneeze? Oh, please, don't sneeze. I don't suppose you could hold your nose or wait a while, asked the crocodile with a sad little smile. Oh, my, don't try, said the fly. We wish, said the fish, you would if you could. The last time you blew off all of our scales, from the heads to our tails, and our gills got the chills, and our skin is so thin, if you do it again, we'll freeze. Oh, please, don't sneeze. The zebra yelled, yipes, you'll blow off my stripes. Plus lots and lots of the leopard spots, and all of the snakes will be tied up in knots. The hippopotamus said, a lot of us will fall right on our bottom us if you sneeze, so please don't sneeze. I'm sorry, my friends, said the elephant sadly, but all of this I do feel quite badly. If I could keep from sneezing, I'd do it gladly. But I have such a twitch in my trunk and an itch, plus a bit of a tickle and even a prickle. You must run, fly, and hop. I'm afraid I can't stop. I would if I could, but there's nothing to do. Boo! Shouted a little gray mouse, jumping out of his house. He stood right up on his little tiptoes, stuck out his tongue, and wiggled his nose. Eek! Shouted the elephant, jumping in the air. That's a mouse! That's a mouse standing there! I must hide in a tree before he gets me, or jump in a lake, for goodness sake. Don't scare me, please spare me. The mouse laughed. Oh, poo. Now what could I do? A little thing like me to a big thing like you? I only wanted to give you a scare, and it worked as sure as you're standing there. Elephant, think about it. Please, you completely forgot to sneeze. Well, what do you know, cried the elephant. That's so. It's astounding, confounding. As I live and breathe, I don't think I really have to sneeze. He began to giggle. That's the funniest thing that's happened to me. Ha, 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 ho, 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 the elephant shook from his head to his toe. He ho-hoed and ha-ha'd. He giggled and guffawed. He chortled and chuckled until his knees buckled. He sat down and rolled from side to side. In fact, the elephant laughed till he cried. He laughed till the ground was shivering and shaking, and all of the trees were quivering and quaking. The monkeys came tumbling out of the trees, and the stings fell off every one of the bees. The birds' feathers went flying to good knows where. And all of the hair fell off of the bear. The giraffe bent in half and the crocodile's snout turned inside out. The fish lost their scales from their heads to their tails. The zebra yelled, yikes, where go my stripes? While the hippo went thump right on his plump, you know what. And into a puddle the mouse went kerplop. Then he sat up and shouted, this simply must stop. We're terribly glad you don't have to sneeze, but if you must laugh, laugh softly. Oh, elephant, please. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's such a great read, y'all. So much fun reading that. The elephant, please don't sneeze. Please, bro. Just hold it together. Please. You know, whether we admit it or not, who we are has an impact on people around us. In our story, the whole animal kingdom is on edge because the elephant has announced he has to sneeze. I mean, all right, and so their anxiety is not unwarranted because the elephant has a history of being disruptive. This funny story reminds us of how even the smallest things can have the biggest impact on our lives and of the lives of those around us. Like, don't discount the impact of small things. The elephant's sneeze, it was a normal function of mammals. I'm not sure if fish or birds or reptiles sneeze. Maybe they do. I mean, how often does the seemingly normal thing throw someone's life into a tailspin because of what they anticipate? We often worry about what we cannot control. Like, nobody could control this elephant sneeze. He could barely control it. And it doesn't seem to take much to activate the familiar fear narratives that seem to have the ability to just put us in cycles of negative thinking patterns that hold us hostage to an anticipated harm or danger or tragedy. It's like we have the entire animal kingdom in our minds generating narratives about all the things that could go wrong if this one thing happens. Oh, man. There's a modern word that we could use here that really, I think, describes what the animal's response was to the elephant's anticipated sneeze. We would or could call it or say that they were triggered. Triggered, right? The original meaning of the word triggered is when we have an emotional or psychological reaction that's caused by something or someone, and it is related to an upsetting or time or a happening in someone's life. It's related to some trauma that has happened in their lives. And this reaction is often found in, like, war veterans, people with PTSD or suffering from depression or anxiety disorders or other mental health disorders, right? That's where it happens. But it has become a more popularized used term today to mean when someone gets offended or when they get their feelings hurt. Often it is used by people with strong victimization. What do you talk about, man? I'm just telling you that we have adopted a victim mentality, so much so that it has resulted in an increase in our experience with anxiety. Have you noticed that people seem to be more anxious than they had before? And I'm going to tell you the thing that happens when we get triggered, when something sets us off. We experience pressure. And pressure has the ability to leave more than just bad memories. Like, it leaves a mark on our souls that forever changes. Pressure, the language and thinking and habits formed during some of our most challenging times of our lives get incorporated into our very existence. And sometimes, even unconsciously, we rehearse them out loud in response to normal everyday occurrences. Pressure. I love how, as a people, we take something that means one thing, and it's usually something difficult, and we turn it into something almost poetic. We are gifted at taking words and painting emotional pictures in the minds of those who are in the know. We call it slang. All right. Okay. Yes. That was a very intellectual way of describing slang. I know. And so pressure, right? It in the slang terms, it means that it's when someone is on their game. It's when they're operating at their highest level. They're looking their very best, and they are applying pressure to others because they are compelling people to look, to respond. And our looking and our responding is out of respect or awe. Another way of looking at pressure is when I use my willpower to overcome obstacles and excel at a task. And thirdly, pressure can be when someone puts someone else in a difficult situation by trying to persuade or force them into doing something. Pressure. And sometimes the pressure we're experiencing isn't the pressure that someone else is applying to us. It's the pressure that we put on ourselves. We got shoulds and ought tos and all kinds of rules about how we ought to operate and show up in the world. And when we're not showing up that way, we start putting pressure on ourselves. And this pressure can lead to anxiety. See, anxiety, man, that more than any time in my life, I'm hearing people say things like, "I have anxiety." Like, they claim that in their lives. And I'm not sure if this word anxiety has become like our new catchphrase for fears or worries, but these words are not synonymous. They are not. The American Psychological Association defines anxiety like this. It says anxiety is an emotion characterized by feelings of tension and worried thoughts and physical changes like increased in blood pressure. Yes. Right? So anxiety, it can be a state or a trait. And here's the difference. If it's a trait, then it's a part of an individual's personality. It shows up in their behaviors and their actions and their feelings. It shows up in their everyday life. This is a long-term characteristics of their identity, which is different than a state. Oh, man, a state is temporary. It's a condition that passes after a short period of time. And so anxiety, it can be a trait. Some people are predisposed to anxiousness. But I would say that most of us experience anxiety as a state, a temporary condition. But if we make anxiety and being triggered the habit of our lives, then we develop it as a trait. Okay. Our intolerance for uncertainty is a driving factor for our feelings of anxiety. We like to believe that we're in more control than we really are. And so what happens is when things start happening, we start having negative thinking and we have these negative narratives that tell us that things are happening or headed in the wrong direction. Can I just put a little side note right here? Like, just because something doesn't seem like it's going in the right direction doesn't mean that it's wrong. sometimes things are going in that direction because they're protecting you. Because what you think is going to be the outcome really isn't going to be the outcome. And so it needed to go wrong to protect you from what you didn't even know was coming. That's my side note. And so we typically employ two coping strategies for our anxiety. The first one is worry, and the second one is avoidance. No, you didn't know that worrying was a coping strategy for anxiety. I know. I learned it too. I was like, what? Yeah. So here we are, right? Worry is not an emotion. Worry is not an emotion. It is the thinking part of anxiety. It's when we allow our minds to dwell on the anticipated problems or troubles that may be coming. That's worry. And we believe that worrying is a helpful coping mechanism. If we just worry about it, then somehow or another it helps us, but it doesn't. We also believe that worrying is not controllable. And so we end up trying to suppress the worrying thoughts, and as a good way to try to deal with them. But it's not true. We can learn how to control our worry. And rather than suppressing your worry, we need to identify and assess the emotion and the thinking behind this condition. You are not at the mercy of your emotions and your thinking, which is why you can change your mind, which is why you feel some way now and then you feel a different way later. And so this thing, that's worry, and then avoidance, right? So if worrying is thinking, avoidance is behavior. And avoidance is in the Atlas of the Heart, the book Atlas of the Heart, it defines avoidance this way. Avoidance is not showing up and often spending a lot of energy zigzagging around and away from that thing that already feels like it's consuming us. And the reason why avoidance leads to more anxiety is because the thing that you're trying to avoid, you end up running back into again. Because avoidance really is about you, and wherever you are, you are. Yeah, you see, you can't get away from yourself. You might be able to fool other people. You might be able to make other people out there in the world through your social media posts believe that you are a certain way. But the reality is you are who you are wherever you are. And you got to deal with the things that are causing you to be anxious. And see, these coping mechanisms, this worrying and avoidance, they are exhausting, y'all. Oh, this is why you're so tired, because these things are running through your mind. Oh, my gosh. Oh. And while fear is our quick response to an immediate threat, and so, you know, that's where we get fight, flight, or freeze, right? That's fear that's driving that. Anxiety is focused on future threat. It hasn't happened, and we're so concerned about what might happen that we put ourselves in a frenzy. Oh, please don't sneeze, Mr. Elephant. And all of these things can lead to stress. Y'all do know that stress is one of the number one killers across the world. Yeah, stress. Stress is our overall response to anxiety. When we're stressed, we can still function. But there's another level to stress that's called overwhelmed. When I'm overwhelmed, it impedes all functionality. When I'm overwhelmed, oh, it's not good. It's not good. If I think I can cope with something, I experience that episode of stress. But if I think this is more than I can handle, I shift to overwhelmed, and it's a game changer. Like when I'm overwhelmed, I can't think straight. I don't even know what I need because my brain has shifted to self-preservation. And it points all of my resources, all of my mental, emotional, and physical resources towards the endeavor of surviving. And the question in our heads that determines whether or not we stay in stressed, something we can manage, to overwhelm, something we are struggling to manage, is, can I handle this? Ah, man. When we're feeling overwhelmed, it is not the time to make decisions, because there are parts of you that help you do this successfully that are not available when you're feeling overwhelmed. It's like you're trying to reach your brain and ask your brain to help you deal with something, but you keep getting a busy signal. Yeah. Or you get the voicemail that says, hey, I'm not available right now. Please leave a message and I'll get back to you shortly. Only to find out that when you try to leave a message, the voicemail is full. When I'm feeling overwhelmed, I get a busy signal from my brain. I get, listen, leave a message, but the voicemail is full. And now I'm frustrated because now I don't know what to do. Now I don't know what to do, which brings me to this final piece of it. There are things we can do. There are things we can do. First, we got to acknowledge where we really are. We have got to be willing to dig beneath the surface of our thinking and find out what it is we're feeling and why we're feeling that way, and confront the negative narratives that are happening in our heads and our hearts with truth. Mm-hmm. With truth, not the what ifs. Not the what ifs, because the what ifs aren't always true. Yeah. And I know that sometimes what happens is, because something is real for me, I experience it, but that doesn't make it true. Okay. And so one of the most effective ways to get your brain out of leave a voicemail message mode, out of busy signal mode, is breathing. I know there's a lot of talk out here about breath work and about taking the time to just breathe. There is validity to this thing, y'all. If you can get yourself to just slow down and breathe, you can reactivate that part of your brain that helps you think and make good decisions. Breathing. There's box breathing where you hold it for four, you breathe out for four, you breathe in for four. There's all kinds of four. There's hand breathing where you inhale when you go up one side of your finger and exhale when you go down another, and you just do it around your whole hand. There's all kinds of breathing. You don't need to look very far to find something to help you with breath work. It is essential, because what happens is when your system gets anxious and stressed and overwhelmed and worried, your muscles contract around your blood vessels, preventing your blood flow from going the way it normally goes, preventing oxygen from getting to the places in your body that need oxygen. I'm just telling you, physiologically, there is stuff happening. It is not just mental or emotional. And if we can get our bodies to just get back to resetting to normal, then it'll help us think through what needs to happen next so we can have the right response. The other thing that breathing does is it turns down our boiling thoughts and emotions, right? Because it's just bubbling up and it's like, oh my gosh. Here's another thing we can do, right? Breathing is one. The other thing we can do is we could exercise. I'm not talking about exercises because you want to lose weight. I'm telling you, exercise is one of the ways that you get to manage and control your worry and anxiety. Because movement is the body's love language. Movement. And I'm not talking about tapping your foot to music. No, I'm talking about big muscle movements, whether that's dancing, running, walking. Listen, just taking the stairs a few times during the week instead of the elevator, or walking, parking your car a little further from the front door of the places that you're going to be shopping in, because you're going to be doing a lot of shopping. Just parking way out so you have to walk to and from. Those big muscle movements do everything for your body. Breathing, movement. I got a couple more. Laughter. Oh, did you see the elephant? Did you hear the elephant in the book? Like when the mouse, you know, scares him, he was like, yo, that thing worked. And it tickled him. I don't know, when's the last time you had a belly laugh? I'm talking about the kind of laugh that brought you to tears, where you couldn't stop laughing. Like, it just made your stomach hurt. You were like, I'm telling you, we need that kind of laughter in our lives, because it helps release the hormone in our bodies that decreases our stress and anxiety. Well, I'm just telling you, laughter really is medicine for the soul. And some of you, you got some friends who, you know, if I just call this person, they are going to have me in stitches just being who they are. They're not even trying to be funny. There are folk out there, I got some friends, they're not trying to be funny. They're just being who they are. And I'm telling you, my gut is busted every time I talk to them. Yeah, you need that. Which brings me to this other point. We need positive social interactions. We need positive social interactions. I need other people in my lives, but I don't need the folk coming with drama and negativity and foolishness. No, I need positive people in my life. I want to find those positive people. I want to spend time with those positive people, because they help me settle. They help me look at things differently. I'm just telling you, you need that. And if you don't have that, then you create it. You become it. And create, pull some people together, some folk that you may not normally get together with. Get into those spaces. Get into those spaces with some positive folk so that you have some positive social interaction. And here's the last one. Talk to somebody professional about your condition. If my teeth are bothering me, like, I don't try to come up with some home remedy. I go find me a dentist, because I'm just not equipped. I'm just not. Like, this problem is bigger than me, right? And the longer I avoid it, the more pain I'm in, right? If my car has some issues and I'm not a mechanic, because some people are mechanically inclined, they just fix it themselves. But there are some issues, you know, that need a professional. Yeah. And so I'm just saying that your mind and your heart need regular maintenance. And you could talk to a counselor, a therapist, a life coach. I mean, you find somebody, get a professional involved. And don't just go to the professional because you're trying to deal with a crisis. Mm-mm. I'm telling you, just like you go to the doctor at least once a year for a regular checkup, you should be going to see somebody for a regular checkup on your head and your heart. I'm just a checker. I'm just checking in to make sure I'm okay. Because sometimes what happens is you got stuff in the blind spots of your life that you can't see because you have normalized them. And just getting when somebody says, hey, have you paid attention to that? Like, did you notice that when you get anxious, you do this? I'm just saying that there are ways for you to cope, whether it's breathing, exercising, laughter, positive social interaction, or talking to a professional will help you be less anxious. Yep. All right. Well, thank you, Patricia Thomas, for this book. Y'all, this is probably my wife's favorite book. Stand back, said the elephant. I'm going to sneeze. So many other things in here. If you don't have this, you should get it. It's a good read. And I want you to be less anxious. I want you to have more peace. That's the goal. I want you to have more peace. I want you to live a life of peace and fulfillment and productivity and purpose. That's the goal. If we can get to that, we're living a great life. I'm Dante Poole. This is the Life Sculptors podcast. Do me a favor. Like, share, subscribe, comment. Let's have some conversation. Some of you have been responding, and I love it. Let's talk about this. I'm here for it all. And remember this. You're enough. Have a good one, y'all.